This is the Realm of Agape Christian Church.
We're going to be in Proverbs 22. I have to split this particular message up three ways so that I won't prolong the time too much. Thank God. But Proverbs 22, verses 20 and 21. I'm reading from the King James Version to your hearing. Proverbs 22, verses 20 and 21. It says, have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you? Amen. In here we see a mystery about worship, and we will disseminate, amen, as the Holy Ghost leads us, because he is the revealer of truth. So Father God, amen, you have brought us here. I pray that you will help us all to gain an understanding. Get an understanding, amen, and move forward in Jesus' name in our life for you. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Amen. I want to, amen, just introduce this word to you, a biblical theology of worship as we're dealing with. It's based on teaching, you know, the doctrinal teaching concerning worship of the one true God as revealed in his word, the Holy Bible. I told you when I get a chance, I'm going to call the Bible what? Holy Bible throughout the series. God help me to do it. So this teaching is going to be the undergirding factor, the foundation whereupon this subject matter is going to be brought forth throughout this series. And this message in particular introduces foundational truths upon which we will build in later messages. So we're dealing with right now the biblical pattern of worship. And it has certain objectives, we thank God. The biblical pattern of worship. Question: what are the objectives of this message? So this message has been written, as I said, in three parts, and upon its completion, the full completion, we all will be able to do the following. So part one is dealing with this, being able to explain what is meant by a biblical theology of worship. We will be able to detail the biblical pattern of worship, and we will be able to list the types of worship. That's what we will do in this message. Parts two and three have their own emphasis, and to not belabor the time, I won't go through those, but part two has three parts. Part three has three parts. Amen? Amen. So I split them three equal ways. So as the opening scripture reveals, there are attributes of our being as humans to be entreated with honor. So we look back in the ancient day to King Solomon. He was led by the Holy Spirit to promote such teachings that warn against exploiting those who are weak. Warns against exploiting those who may be at a disadvantage, psychologically, emotionally, socially, economically, whatever it might be. And teachings that help us to realize that we ought to avoid persons who cannot control their anger. Amen. And that we should commit to wise financial investments, not unwise ones. God is concerned about all these matters in our lives, just to name a few. Furthermore, scripture denounces those who cheat others out of property by manipulating borders. And it also notes the value of us indulging in diligent work. Amen. Sustainable work. How we live is of concern to our Creator, to put it in a simple fashion. How we live is a form of worship. It behooves us all to seek wisdom into what God expects from us. When we work to define worship, we will begin to realize that it is not just about lyrics of songs. It is not just about vocalists. psalmists, we call them today. It is not just about instrumentalists, people, you know, on instruments playing music. Although these are important elements, tools in worship that God uses by His Spirit, it is not about traditions, how we set up our service, liturgy. It's not about artistry, the art and science of preaching. We talk about these things, but it's not about all that. Amen. It's not even about creative expression, how we present the word. Because sometimes how we present the word becomes a dogma. My God, a dogmatic kind of subcultural rule. So we can judge people and say, well, that person can preach, but this other one, not so much. Even though both are disseminating the truth from the word of God. If you are not musical and tuning up, I say, that means you can't preach. So, although these are valid expressions of worship, if they do not become vain rituals, you know, they're going to be yet used of the Holy Ghost. Other than that, you know, we're just moving along and doing what we think is right. And, you know, the Holy Ghost is not present, though. True worship, however, is about who? God. We honor Him. And not just because of what He does for us, but who He is. Amen. He is holy. Amen. We want to, amen, govern ourselves accordingly. Our God is holy. He expects for us also to be what? Holy. Amen. It is highly important. It's imperative to acknowledge the eternal wisdom of heaven's protocol of worship. God has a certain formula for us to follow. There is an order to follow. There is a prerequisite. Amen. The first things must be considered. You know, all first things must be considered for true worship. And this is it, that one must experience being born again. Folks who aren't what? Born again, you're going to have a hard time worshiping in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're going to come to be what? Entertained. And this is what carnal-minded preachers and pastors are doing these days. Keeping the carnal lights happy. What can we do for them to entertain them this week?
Right.
One preacher was swinging across the stage with a rope like he was Tarzan or something. They were like, wow, we don't know what he's going to do next week. Let's come back and see. Wow. Is that what God expects of us in worship? Having carnal competitions? My God. So for listeners of this message who may not have experienced the new birth, the second message entitled A Prelude to Worship will serve as a step-by-step guide, because I can't go through that in this message. We're dealing with what? The biblical pattern of worship specifically. Amen. We have objectives to go through. So of great importance with respect to arriving at God's expected understanding for us all, a biblical theology of worship requires an understanding of the definition of worship, which is the focus of the third message. We must also understand the differences between true and false worship, issues that are to be covered also in upcoming messages. Worship requires centering your mind, your heart, your soul, and spirit. You have a spirit. Amen. All should be focused on who? The Lord. Amen. This requires accurate knowledge of the Trinity of God. People are going to say the word Trinity not in the Bible. But you need to learn how to read with this skill of comprehension called inference. Amen. Things are inferred. Who is often mentioned? The Father. Who is also mentioned a lot in the Bible? The Son. Who else? The Holy Ghost. Amen. And all of them are Yahweh. So God presents Himself eternally in what? Three persons. And we have to acknowledge that when we are attempting to walk in His protocol. God has certain definitions of how we live. So a true worshiper must spend time in the Holy Word of God. Amen. Those who don't have time for the Holy Word of God, you cannot worship in the way that God would have you worship. Folks who are saying, oh, the Holy Ghost is moving so much. Oh, we don't have time to preach. We don't have time to teach. Let's just relish in this moment. You know, what moment? Jude said they might be clouds without water. Jude said they might be plucked up at the root and twice dead. Jude said they might be sensual, not having the Spirit. Amen. So we need to govern ourselves according to the what? Holy Word of God. It takes, through the Holy Ghost power, intense study of worship from the Bible. You will gain a revelation because the Holy Spirit reveals the truth from the Word. The Bible will reveal to you what is taught, not just the New Testament, but also the Old Testament. Amen. Regarding the subject in terms of examples and commands from God. This is covered also in upcoming messages of this series. One must learn how to prepare for worship and understand the biblical elements of worship, which we will present more profoundly in messages to come. But let's look at a biblical theology of worship. Amen. Thank God. Which includes an understanding of spiritual warfare and spirit-led worship. Thank God. And how to experience the manifested presence of God. It also includes an understanding of how to lead worship in a biblical manner and how to recognize and eliminate hindrances to worship. These will all be covered in a few separate messages. But most importantly, right now, a biblical theology of worship recognizes that God is concerned with more than the externals of worship.
That's right.
God speaks of those who honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him, as revealed in Isaiah 29:13. True biblical worship, then, produces change, both inwardly and outwardly. Thank God. You trying to get the sister to take off that mini skirt, my God, and put a maxi dress on, amen, before she get good and saved. Amen. You can change the outside, but after a while, amen, I hope sooner than later, the inside changes. So she don't sneak out, amen, and have the other dress in her purse and change before she leave out of the building. My God, same thing for men. We could do sneaky stuff, too, on the male side. My God. But God doesn't want us sneaking around town because he is omnipresent. He is omniscient. Amen. He's everywhere and he knows all things. You can run, but you can't hide. There's going to be a record in heaven. Amen. When you meet the maker, will you be ready to meet him? My God. Will your slate be clean still? My God. Will your hands be washed? Amen. Will your heart, amen, be fixed on the holy hill of God? See, true biblical worship produces such a change inside and out. Yes. Worship changes your heart, a change which is manifested in your attitude and in your actions. Thank God. You won't, amen, put the Bible down after church and go out looking for whose life you can mess up. Mm-hmm. My God. Jesus said, those who love him will do what? Keep his commandments. A biblical theology of worship leads to the conviction that worship is a lifestyle, not just a special service once a week, which after which you will live a routine life during the remainder of the week. We will gain more revelation about such things throughout the series. But let's begin to answer some basic questions regarding worship. The biblical pattern of worship, amen. Thank God. The biblical pattern of worship includes three things: exalting God, edifying the body of Christ, and evangelizing the lost. So when you exalt God, that's called upreach. People don't know about that too much, but they know about outreach. But you see, there are two prerequisites to outreach. First, there needs to be an upreach. Amen. Up toward the heaven. So God's will be done on earth, what as it is in heaven. We need a download from heaven. Send it on down, Lord. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost, what? Come on down. Amen. Breathe on me, Lord. Newness of life. Hallelujah. Such things like that. We reach up to God for that. Then he will enable us to edify, feed, teach, encourage in holiness the body of Christ, the others who are following God too. That's called inreach. So the church needs to reach up so that there's an upreach. Then God's finger of power will reach in and do a surgery that needs to be done. He will fill us with teaching that we need, amen, for nourishment to live right. There's going to be a what? Inreach. Then we can evangelize. See, we are evangelizing wrong. When we don't have the upreach and the inreach from God, what are we going to do when we evangelize? We just going to have a block party. Everybody out there shaking their pelvis like Elvis and doing all manner of things. Amen. That's not evangelism. Amen. You can't worry about giving folk hot dogs and hamburgers and thinking you're going to bring them to the altar of Jesus Christ to be saved. That's called baiting and switching. Amen. We're not in the bait and switch ministry. Amen. The Holy Ghost must do a work on folk. Amen. He knows how to get their heart ready. He prepares the soil of their soul to receive the engrafted word of God. He prepares us to give a word, amen, of hope. They will ask us about the hope that lies within us, and the Holy Ghost will make us ready to give an answer. That's the outreach for the lost. The early church followed this pattern in Acts 2, 42 through 47 in the King James. It says, and they continued steadfastly in a weak way, in an intermittent way. How? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul all around town. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. Amen. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men that were among them, as every man had need. Amen. The house was taken care of. See, the inreach is there. So they did an upreach with the worship and all. Then the inreach happened. Amen. God took care of needs in the house. We're not supposed to be trying to be the social service like the government and thinking we're going to feed all nations out there. My God. And those who don't even want anything to do with God, we're trying to feed them and bring them in from the fields of sin. The Holy Ghost brings them in from the fields of sin. He will transform them by the renewing of their mind, by the washing of the word. Hallelujah. Thank God. See, when the people of God had the inreach happening by God, they sold all their stuff and made sure everybody had what they needed. Amen. Thank God. And they continued daily with one accord in the house of God, in the temple, breaking bread, having communion, amen, and it's fellowshipping together, eating together, from house to house, amen. And they continued daily with one accord that way, did eat their meat with gladness and with singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Won't God help us to be like Jesus? Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with who? God and man. Hallelujah. We shouldn't be all high and holy in church, then all hellbound when we leave out of the building of the church. My God, there's a problem. You're not going to be in favor with man. Amen. They're going to say something wrong with them church folk. My God. Then we have brought a reproach on the name of God. Is that true worship? No. Hallelujah. We shouldn't be indicted for crimes. My God. Outside of the house of God. That is not true worship. Hallelujah. Oh, help me calm down, Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. I got information to disseminate. Hallelujah. The Apostle John also emphasized it in John 15, 1 through 11. This is where Jesus is teaching that he's the vine, right? And his workers are what? The branches. And then in verses 12 through 17 of that book, amen, he forms us in agape, in love, in God's love, and fills us to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then in the latter verses, The sinful spirit of the world, Jesus warned us, will hate us, will hate on us. He hated me. They're going to hate you too, because you have a different spirit from them. Amen. But the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, will enable you to have a victorious, holy life, bearing witness that God is your Lord, not the subculture. Amen. Not pop culture, but God. Amen. So when you exalt, guess what we're doing? When we exalt God, we're edifying each other. And when you edify each other, you will have the wherewithal, the power, and the mindset with all the verbiage out there. What's going to come out of your spirit? Stuff about God. Amen. And then you begin to, guess what? Evangelize. See, when you're talking the talk of them, there's no difference. Is light shining then? No. Because everybody walking in darkness, bumping into each other. Amen. There has to be somebody that's talking light from heaven. So when you evangelize the way God would have it, you begin to edify and exalt the name of the Lord. So the pattern does what? Continues. Amen. Did you hear that? Amen. Thank God. There are types of worship. Amen. Thank God. Types of worship. We're going to talk a little bit about each. The Bible speaks of various types of worship. So the worship of repentance. Let's deal with that. Psalm 51 is a wonderful example of the worship of what? Repentance. Do you know what happened there? It's the prayer of King David. He prayed that after his sin with Bathsheba. He sinned with Bathsheba, got caught out there. Amen. God uncovered it. My God. And then he went on into repentance. He didn't scoff God and say, forget God. No, he went on down. He knew from whence his help came. Amen. He repented. That means he got his mind right through the Holy Ghost and said, I'm going to amen, leave this stuff, decrepit stuff on the altar, let it get burnt up. That's the dross. I'm going to be the gold that God makes better. Amen. Amen. So that's what he did. When you repent like that, you're supposed to also forsake the sin and don't go back to it.
That's right.
He didn't keep a number in his cell phone. All Bathsheba girlfriends from around the corner. Bathsheba, you got some other honeys I could hit up on? My God, no. He didn't keep doing it and stay a playboy. No. He got right. Amen.
Yes.
Thank God. That's what we need to learn how to do. Get forgiveness from God, but then forsake the sin.
Yes.
Thank God. Don't be a repeat offender. Amen. Thank God. When the Holy Ghost comes in, he's going to wipe all that repeat offender stuff out of your spirit. Amen.
Yes.
So the worship of repentance will happen. Let's look at the worship of acceptance. Job lost his children, his wealth, his health, and all. Yet he did what? Worshiped God.
Yes.
In Job 1, verses 20 and 21. Then Job arose and tore his mantle, shaved his head, fell down on the ground and worshiped God and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return to the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, it's not so much what he said as when he said it. My God, he lost everything. My God. But amen. He accepted what he had and went on and worshiped the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. May not be where you want to be, but you're not what you used to be. Amen. We need to thank God for the good things we got. For the good things we got are for many just a dream. So be thankful for the good things that you got. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is the kind of songs I grew up on as a teenager down in Florida. They had the gospel station, and I would hear songs like that ringing out on the radio. Amen. And I stopped complaining for a moment. Amen. And you know how teenagers are. Every other Sunday, I want to get saved again. I messed up again. Amen. Teenage lifestyle. Amen. But thank God. God convicts you. Amen. You're a teenager. You got that soft soil in your soul. And the Holy Ghost come in before you become a hard old man. He want to make you right. Because sometimes they say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. God's going to work on you while you're young. Remember thy creator in the days of what? Thy youth. Amen. God wants to make it right before you get too old. You're supposed to be working for God while you're young and got the strength. Amen. Thank God. So let us keep on seeking after the Lord and accept where we are right now. God's got something in mind for you. Just hang on in there and do what God said. Amen.
Amen.
There's a worship of devotion. The story of Abraham and his son Isaac. That's the greatest example of the worship of devotion. Genesis 22, 1 through 14. I'm not going to read all that, but Abraham was commanded, you know, to give his only son as a sacrifice to God. It took them many years to gain a son. They were in their elderly ages. How you going to make a maternity ward happen in a convalescent home? My God, that's a miracle. Amen. It's like, wow. A newborn, what? In a convalescent home? What's going on right here? But it happened, amen? And they had their only son, my God. But God said, give him up on the altar. Say, what? You're going to see how your faith really is. Where is your faith? Abraham proved that he was faithful to God. Amen. He offered up this worship of devotion. Abraham had to die to the desire of a son. And this type of worship denounces selfish desires and focuses on God alone. Amen. Sacrificial worship always brings glory to who? Ourself or God? To God. Amen. And in the end, Isaac was spared, was he not? Yes. And God was glorified through the offering of a sacrificial substitute. Amen. He looked over, the angel said, no, don't do it. There's a ram in the bush waiting. Amen. In the thicket over there. Thank God. God is a miraculous God. Hallelujah. Just follow what he says. We may not see the end, but we got to trust God. God's eternal. We're not eternal. But God sees. Amen. Through the end of time, he'll see ahead of us. And he's eternal, so he knows where he's going to take us. Trust him. Amen. Let's go to the worship of commitment. Are you ready to commit? We got to look at the account in 2 Chronicles 15, 10 through 15 in the NIV, where Israel made a covenant to serve God as part of the reformation efforts of King Asa. After the prophet Azariah revealed the word of God's spirit, it says here, the Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. You know why? Because you're outside of the will of God, right? For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him. And he was found by them. In those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded, end quote by the prophet Azariah. Amen. And after that, look what they did. They offered sacrifices and made a covenant to seek the Lord with all their heart and soul. They were shouting praises to God and using trumpets and instruments and, you know, trumpets and cornets in their worship, making loud sounds to the Lord. That's called the worship of what? Commitment. Amen. One more. The worship of warfare. Sometimes you go there and worship. Basically, there are four areas of attack by the enemy. He attacks our worship. He attacks the word of God. He attacks our walk. He attacks our work. So Satan attacks our worship of God, trying to stop you from seeing the importance of doing it. Satan will attack the holy word of God, change it in such a way, add to it, take from it. And teachers out there are doing the same thing, and people form these evil fellowships and congratulate one another, and they have hirelings and such to promote their work, and looks like it's a big productive work, and they, amen, go into all of their accounts and they find out how they can build or rent or lease places so they can look big and sound big. My God. But God says, my hand is not in any of it. That's a shame. But the devil will change the word of God, so all that will happen.
The devil will work on our Christian walk so we're not doing the things we ought to be doing when we ought to be doing them. We begin to do that demonic thing called murmuring. We begin to do that demonic thing called procrastination. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll get strict tomorrow. No, but God is saying, no, get strict right now. Tomorrow's not promised to you. The time is always and always will be right here and right now. Amen. The devil will attack your work for God. He'll make you lazy on a little bit until you lazy on a lot and you end up doing nothing. My God. So worship is one of the most important spiritual weapons that we possess. We need to realize that. How do we summarize all these things? Let's remember that the truest biblical theology of worship helps us to worship God as He intended. Amen? That's it. Thank God. But, you know, we got to remember there's a definition that God expects us to know. There's a protocol God wants us to follow. And there will be results that will help and bless us to accomplish God's will on this finite earth as it is in God's eternal heaven. Amen. God is yet the same in both realms. In the eternal realm, guess what? He's holy. In the finite realm, guess what? He's holy. Amen. He expects us to be holy, not in pretense, a lot of folks pretending around town, but he wants us to be earnest by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the living truth of the risen Lord and Savior. You know his name, Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. I pray, God, you will keep us encouraged. Present us faultless before your throne. Help us to do these things. Oh, God, transform our heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Help us to use all our strength to praise and bless the name of the Lord. Oh, God, give us a distaste for anything that's demonic. We may not know it's Luciferian, but by nature it is. And God, I pray you reveal all these things. Let them become as dross in your eternal presence and burn them up, Lord. We don't need them to be in us, Lord. Not in our mind. Hallelujah. We know you're able. In Jesus' name.
We of the Realm of Agape Christian Church pray that the Holy Word of God has richly blessed your soul. To send prayer requests, use the contacts page of our website, www.roagape.org. We need your continued prayers and financial support to maintain this ministry. You can also find a secure means of donating on our website. God bless you.